Welcome to Awakening Matters with your host, Cynthia Sloan. Blessings to you wherever you are tonight and however you are. May you, for this hour or less, feel not only a connection to me and to what's being shared, but also to yourself. May you feel a connection to yourself that takes you from a place of limitation to unlimitedness. Or if you already feel unlimited, may it take you even further. And so, you know, I talk about everything from reincarnation, cellular consciousness, and everything, past life, relationships, soulmates, physical health. But tonight, I'm probably going to touch on some of that, but tonight I'm going to share a little bit about myself in reference to why I can talk about these things, what my experience is with some of these things, and why I talk about these things, all of them. And so I'm going to start with a time in my life where I was much younger. we'll just put it that way. I was much younger. And that time was a time of chaos, but it was also inner chaos in the sense that one day I remember I was very physically into sports in the form of softball, volleyball, beach volleyball, things like that. And one day I was playing, I think, baseball in my cul-de-sac where I lived in California. And I remember feeling a really sharp pain, but I couldn't figure out what it was, and it just wouldn't go away. So anyway, it ended up being related to my ovaries. And so that happened, and there was a lot of pain, and it kind of never went away. And the odd thing is that if I found myself laying in different positions, yes, I did say that, like I had to get, as a young child, my body had to get in a certain position, and it's not like I had a diagram or that I had different choices to look at and go, oh, it's Thursday and it's 2 o'clock, I'll lay this way. No, it was so random. But it was literally moving my body in different positions until one position would give relief. And I would be like, oh, yes, that's it. And I would stay in that position until the pain was gone completely. Turns out, fast forward later on, those were a lot of the positions I was randomly getting into or very aligned with, yoga, tai chi, all kinds of things of that, kind of movement, healing through movement, movement through healing, etc. But then let's fast forward even further. And I talk a lot because I believe so much in the ability to partner with medicine or the ability to self-heal, whatever and however you take your journey, I totally support that. In my journey, I did partner with medicine in regards to my, well, to what transpired. So I'll go into the story. So, turns out that twice in my life, the first time being, I don't know, in my age, I don't relate to age my own. It's just one big experience, but I believe that I was probably in my 30s, I want to say. And I had a lot of pain in the uterus, etc. And so I was guided to utilize a certain organic Well, if it's not known, it's organic castor oil. An organic castor oil pack that somebody says to me, use that, wrap your body in saran wrap in that area, put castor oil on a pack, and then wrap that around a heating pad. So I did it. I absolutely realized there would be no harm, and the best outcome could be that there was no more pain. Because it was often seen that castor oil packs, you can look them up, can assist in dissolving cysts, inner cysts, or growths, or what have you. And so I did that. But what ended up happening was I went into the deepest meditation, and not even planned. Once I was all set and I turned on the heating pad on low, I fell into a deep sleep, and I remember leaving my body and just moving slowly away from my body, but towards something. And I could see my body. I don't remember seeing a cord, but maybe it was there. But in either case, I remember going to this beautiful, extraordinary place with water. It sort of looked like a beach. There were lots of purple hues and beautiful lavender hues and blues and white coloring. It was just so beautiful. Lots of pinks, very soothing, very healing, actually. I know that green is also a color of healing, but this was apparently the healing visually that I was experiencing. And I just found myself very relaxed and just standing on the shore and looking everywhere and just being in a very strong place of peace and self-love, self-compassion, self-awareness that this experience was happening, aware that I was having it, aware that I was loving it, and aware that I felt so relaxed and so at peace. And then slowly I returned to my body, and I don't remember how long I was out of body, if you will, and it did feel like an out of body experience. It did not feel like a just a dream state. And so I remember coming back to my body and kind of waking up and feeling like whatever the issue was that was causing an issue with pain and discomfort, that it was gone. No question, it was gone. I just felt completely light. I didn't feel a density or a heaviness. And I just remember feeling, I remember tearing up actually, because it was such a beautiful experience. And that pain did indeed leave and not come back. And so it was a beautiful experience. So because of that experience, I do recommend, if it resonates for you only, of course, to utilize with, you know, supervision or doctors or what have you, whatever resonates with you, to use castor oil packs, because I have and I find them to be very useful. So fast forward even further, in my late 40s, I believe, I started having a much stronger pain, much, much stronger than I had experienced previously, nor even remembered from earlier, much earlier in my life. And I went and got a ultrasound, I believe, and it was quite alarming, not necessarily because I saw it, because a lot of people, when looking at ultrasound, don't really know what they're seeing. I did not look at it. But looking at the woman's face, and it's not funny. I'm laughing at my experience only, no one else's, just mine. But that's why I'm laughing, because to see her face at whatever she saw, she was very alarming. And I remember thinking, I didn't say anything out loud, but I remember thinking, whoa, she definitely hit the jackpot with whatever she found. And so she said, oh, well, I can't talk to you. We'll have a doctor come in. So a doctor came in and she said, there's a very, very large growth in your uterus. The kind that can only come out with surgery. And I said, okay, can you tell me basically where and, like the width, et cetera. And so they did. And I said, okay, let's schedule surgery. So the surgery was scheduled and off I went. And of course the surgery was scheduled out, I think a month or a few weeks. And I started to do my work. I always do, self-healing, self-energy work, calibration, et cetera, talk to myself. I've always done that since I was, very, very young. And so here I am in my, late 40s, and I start doing, communicating with that area, communicating with myself, and doing healing. Everything from my own toning to point of light, which is a certain type of healing that involves communication with the cells, et cetera. And it's really, that was my dog just validating all of that transpired. So there you go. No, you can't talk right now. You have to get your own show. So, which she'd be happy to do. No question. Okay. So, so I did all the, quite often in meditation and, et cetera. So the day of the surgery came, I showed up and I was actually already wearing a surgical, wear to go into surgery. And, I ran into an assistant or somebody and I said, excuse me, can I please get a quick ultrasound? And, she was like, what? And I said, I know I'm going into surgery, but I would really like to get a quick ultrasound really fast of the area, before the surgery. Now, what I didn't say to them was because I feel like it's gone, but nonetheless, I wanted to get the ultrasound. And so this person goes and gets the doctor and she walks in and I said, please, please, just a really quick ultrasound. And she says, okay, fine. And she gets somebody to do a really quick ultrasound, but she doesn't even tell them. I don't even know if that person that did the ultrasound was going to be working with her in the surgery. So she goes, okay, fine. Give her an ultrasound and she leaves the room. And this woman comes in and starts doing a really quick ultrasound. And all I hear her say is, she's not talking to me. She's talking to the doctor who I guess she thought could hear her because she said, what am I looking for? There's nothing here. Well, I smiled and I thought, right on. And I've never seen a doctor run into a room so fast. So she comes flying around the corner and she grabs an ultrasound and I totally understand why. I mean, she must be like, what do you mean it's not there? It was huge. Where did it go? And so she takes the ultrasound, paddle, I think it's called, and forgive me if you're in this area of work and I am probably using the wrong terminology. I apologize. But, so the doctor looks and goes, there's nothing here. It's gone. And I go, and I'm pretty calm because I'm like, yeah, that's right. Thanks for the validation. I'm thinking that to myself. And I go to get up and she goes, no, no. And I said, excuse me? And she said, no, we're still going to have surgery. We're going to do exploratory surgery. And I said, no, no. I mean, I can understand why she said that, but I was not, I didn't resonate with that. So, I just thanked her and got dressed and left. And, That was in my late 40s. I'm 58, going to be 59 this year. And thankfully, nothing has returned. And so my point being that I talk a lot about healings, not only that I offer myself, but that I offer other people. And I mean, there are testimonies. You can go to my website, CynthiaSloan9.com, Sloan, S-L-O-N. But what's more important here for me and what I'm saying is always work with a doctor, but then also do your own work. Do your own work if possible. Sometimes it's not possible and you're rushed into emergency surgery, or you just feel like you agree that something needs to be done. I'm not against nor talking about being against any of that. I'm saying yes. In fact, if she had done a quick ultrasound and said, what are we looking for? It's still there. I would have said, okay, just checking to see if it's still there. Let's go do surgery. So my point is, whatever your journey is and whatever you choose on your journey, proceed, but please don't exclude your own voice. Don't exclude your own voice or forget that you have a choice. You have a choice, and you can use that choice anytime you want, of course. And you can also apply any type of healing, whether it's music healing, whether it's meditation, whether it's, when I say music healing, what I'm talking about is every single note played by an instrument or many instruments in any type of body of work, those notes, if you set the intention prior to listening to that body of work, that song, that concerto, whatever type of music you're listening to, if you set the intention that every note, my body will receive healing from these notes, that is indeed what will transpire. And if you're not comfortable with that, then you might try, and you may give yourself permission to say at the end of that, and I'm open to having this experience. It's like, don't take anybody else's word for it, not even mine, but be open to having the experience for yourself. Because if I have had the experience, then I know it is possible for every other human to also have their own experience, whether it is different or the same, but nonetheless, it is something that you should look into. So on Awakening Matters, I talk a lot and quite often about cellular consciousness. And today I'm just sharing some background about my experience with cellular consciousness, as well as all the other modalities that may or may not resonate with you. And again, make them your own. Some people lay crystals on their body. Some people receive healing from laying down on Mother Earth. I mean, there are so many different ways, and there are so many different people, and in all of humanity. My dog is barking again, and I'm just laughing because, come on, I hope other people are laughing, because we can tell ourselves to, you know, be quiet because somebody's speaking, but animals are like, you know, hey, I'm speaking. I have free will, and we all do, but I'm finding it very funny that she's so vocal tonight. But in any case, so back to the healing. So yes, I talked to my cells and the consciousness of my cells. You have trillions of cells in your body. They're either cohabitating and communicating with each other, and you'll know if the communication is clear, because usually, for the most part, everything is running smoothly. But if not, if something's hurting, sprained, strained, there's a distortion in the area of where that pain is coming from. And there is the ability to clear it, to heal it, to communicate with it, etc. But the part where it's possible to do that comes from your willingness to love yourself enough to receive help, whether it's from a holistic person, a doctor, but most importantly, to receive loving, I'm going to say fullness in yourselves and restoration, calibration, in the recognition that you are not just a physical being, you are an energy being, you are vibration, you are consciousness, you are not just physicality. You feel things and you process things that sometimes aren't even in your environment, because you are picking up on things energetically. And why are you doing that? Because you are also an energy being. So you are made of everything that is beautiful, and you are also made of the light that reflects that and communicates that in your world. But most importantly, start reflecting that to yourself. And that is so important. So the other thing I'm going to talk about too is with Awakening Matters, I have in the past talked about these incredible times where I've been guided by my inner voice and by my guides, which sometimes your guides will sound like your inner voice. So just be very mindful to listen to what is coming through. Is it helpful? Is it loving? Is it kind? Is it guiding you towards helping you to achieve something, et cetera. Now, if it's not, and it represents the opposite, then most likely you don't want to listen to that, and you want to kind of clear it. And I'm focusing on, you would invite yourself to focus on the opposite of negativity. Why? Why would you focus on the opposite of negativity? Because negativity can focus, if focused on a lot, you end up feeding and fueling the very thing you're trying to have not be in your life. I'm going to say that a different way. If you're focusing on something that is upsetting you and you don't stop focusing on it, you are re-inviting it back into your life every time you focus on it, over and over and over. And so you're holding on to it instead of letting go. So shift your focus. I mean, yes, stuff upsets our humanity all the time, and understandably so. But to clear it, heal it, free yourself, to let go of it, to no longer allow it to be a negative, contracted, oxygen-depriving experience, stop focusing on it and focus on the opposite. Even if you do half and half, it's going to help. So, but in going with what I'm sharing, when I was very young, for those who don't know, I was seeing visually and hearing audibly spirit guides and other people's guides, and also able to hear them talk, not only to me, but to the being that they're with. And when I was very, very young, there was a washer and dryer in the garage where I lived, and we were to carry our clothes and not drop any to the garage. And I want to say I was around 5 years old, 5 or 6. So I'm carrying as much as I can, and I open the garage door. When you open the garage door, before you flip on the light, there were 3 steps that went down. And I open the garage door, and standing literally in front of me, above the ground but below the ceiling, is a figure of a very physical man, but looks black and white. No color, and is wearing a very torn and ripped and almost shredded tweed suit. And so he's wearing this, but I noticed that on his, and I only noticed this because of the sound it made. It drew my attention there. He was wearing chains and shackles from his wrist to his waist and his waist to his ankles. And the thing that was really shocking, I guess, would be the word. I don't know that I felt shocking to, I don't know that a five-year-old would use the word shocked, probably scared, was that I was looking at him and he turned and looked at me. And so there was an immediate recognition that this person was this, to a five-year-old, this is a person. Doesn't matter that they're above the ground and below the ceiling. They're a person. And they're in, it doesn't matter to a five-year-old that they're in black and white. And the five-year-old isn't really going, well, why are you wearing chains and where have you come from? None of that crossed my mind. And for very specific reasons, which I will touch on, but none of it did. At the time, the one thing that did is I dropped all the clothes. I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry. And then I closed the kitchen door that led to the garage and stood against the door and said to myself, I guess we all know about the black and white man that lives in the garage, but nobody talks about it. So then I walked away from that. Not too long after that, and no, I did not see him again. I did not hear him again. But that experience never left me. So not too long after that, there was, what my father would call family meeting, but he was the only one who would speak for a very long time. So you didn't have a voice or a choice. You just sat and you listened. And, I remember looking down at my shoes and singing a song. Don't remember the song right now. Not that it matters, but nonetheless, looking down and not paying attention, because it was probably the same thing being said over and over and over. And then I remember when I looked up at him, I was like, internally, everything was internal, not expressed external. Growing up in my family, we were not allowed to have a voice or to speak without being told to speak, basically. So we had to be very quiet, even at 5 years old. But, so I remember looking down and I remember looking up, which turned out to be a gift to me, by the way. But so I looked down and I looked up and I was like, internally, because I saw all of this color, not black and white, all of this color around my father. Turns out I was seeing his aura. And then I saw this movement in that aura. Now, at the time, I didn't know it was an aura, didn't know what all that was. But I was seeing it nonetheless, and I was so, it was so beautiful. And when I talk about consciousness is everywhere, even the space between you and the television. What am I talking about? I'm sitting there looking at my father's aura and the consciousness in it. Of course, I didn't know it was consciousness at the time, but there was consciousness in it at the time. And then I look away from him and I look at around the entire room and there's color, vibration. There is, the whole room is illuminated in what? The consciousness of an aura. The aura of a consciousness, however you want to see it. And so the plants have, especially the plants, lots of plants in the house, they had such beautiful light around them. And I was just like, and the dog had incredible light around him. And again, I'm 5 or 6 and I'm just like, wow. And I remember looking at the plants and talking inwardly, my inner voice, to this inner consciousness. And saying, wow, you're so beautiful. When I said that, all of the light that was around the particular plant that I was looking at, so the aura, the consciousness within the aura, the awareness of the aura around the consciousness. Okay, so we have the plant, then we have the on the plant, we have the aura. Then we have within the aura, connected to the plant, through the plant and through the other side, the consciousness of the aura. So it's like encompassing everything about the plant. I hope that helps. And so when I, with my inner consciousness, my inner voice, spoke directly to that plant, that entire aura shifted and moved in my, elongated in my direction. And I felt so much love. And I, in turn, returned the love. It was so beautiful. It was coming to me and it was being returned by me. And I just kept doing it over and over. And from that day on, I never, ever saw this physical dimension, and still to this day, without seeing the auras, everybody's auras, not the auras, without seeing the aura around everything. And everything has an aura. Everything has consciousness. Even space is consciousness. It has the ability to meet you at the place within the depths of your being. So your soul voice, it has the ability to hear your soul voice. So your inner voice, not your mental body, where you're telling yourself things. I'm talking about depth, where you're feeling what you're telling yourself, or where you're feeling information or knowing, like you have a deep knowing. Difference between a knowing at times and your thinking about it is you feel such a strong sense of yes, or such a strong sense of peace or calm or strength, whatever is needed for you in that moment, versus the mental body saying yes, but there's no energy or vibration or triumph or passion or there's a lack of feeling. Literally, I already said it. So you think it, but you're not feeling it. The difference is feeling it really deeply, like a knowing. So you're not questioning it. You're like, yeah, that's it. That's it. And I get it. So from that moment on until this moment, however long this moment lasts for me, I have seen auras, and that is a something that people do not understand sometimes. Am I eavesdropping on what you're thinking? No, I don't want to know. I don't care. Am I focused on trying to figure out what your aura is doing, et cetera? No, unless you come to me for a reading, unless you come to me for a healing, unless you come to me for channeling, unless you come to me for to speak to your higher self or for a class or what have you, then you're saying, I give you permission and I would like very much for you to focus on these parts of me and share with me what's going on or validate this or that. And then I will. But otherwise, no, I do not ever walk around. I do with nature. I look at the trees. I look at landscapes. I look at the beauty there, but I do not look at people in that way. That is their privacy and I respect it. My life growing up was very, very different than anybody else's story that I've heard so far, in that and I understand why it was. And I see the blessing and the opportunity and the lesson that it provided. Meaning that there's a possibility if I was able to use my external voice, I wouldn't have tapped in so strongly and with such a sense of trust to this inner voice and to this consciousness all around me at all times. And I wouldn't have trusted when I was told Like, for instance, one of my first jobs, well, it wasn't my first job, but one of my first jobs, I was told by my spirit guides, I didn't have three, but the time I did, I still have the same three. There's just more added to them, but those three are still here. They said to me, on this date at this time, be at this bookstore. They're hiring. And you will be hired. Oh, okay. So I got on my car. I drove to this bookstore where I lived. I got out of the car. I walked into the bookstore. There was a woman there who owned the bookstore. She was on the phone. And so I just stood there waiting. And she said, she said to the person on the phone, hold on a second. And then she looked at me and she said, can I help you? And I said, well, I'm looking for a job. And I didn't even finish my sentence. She looked at me. She goes, you're hired. Don't move. And in my inner voice was like, wow, thank you, you guys, to my guides. Thank you so much. But it was a gratitude and a knowing that if I received information from my guides, that it was for me and it was to benefit me. But don't get me wrong. There have been, unfortunately, times in my life where I didn't listen. We all do that. We all do that. We don't listen. And then when we get to the other side of that not listening, what do we all say? If I had only listened, I wouldn't have wasted 14 years of my life. You know, things like that. So what I see, and so I started working at this metaphysical bookstore. It wasn't just a bookstore. I mean, bookstores, I love bookstores. I love books. But for it to be a metaphysical bookstore as well, and I thought, oh, I'll get to train with the employees. No, she hung up and she looked at me for a second, and then she goes, here's the key. You open tomorrow morning at this time. And I was like, wow, that's great. And she's like, no, it'll be fine. Bye. See you. And so I left and got in my car and I was like, yeah, I don't really know what to expect. It was incredible. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And it involved, reading everything I could get my hands on, which was a lot, and, experiencing incredible experiences. That had I not physically experienced them myself, by the way, there's never anything I say on any of my shows that I haven't lived first. I'm never just going to be like, you know, I hope this could be true for somebody and share something with you. No, I have to have lived it and experienced it myself to be sharing it. That's just me with me. And so I had a lot of, a lot of incredible experience. So the store itself had spirit guides. What do I mean? I mean that the store itself had spirits in it that, they hung out there, and their, main purpose was to guide people to certain locations in the store. Now, why do I know this? Because I would see it happening. Would I say anything? Not unless somebody asked. But I saw person after person, customer after customer come in and be guided to a certain location and a book either standing in front of them, that book, or above them, or what have you, be pushed out by their guide, and fall at their feet or fall in their hand. And they would inevitably look at me and go, did you see that? And I would go, yes, I did. And some would say, was that my guide? And I would say, yes, it was. And some wouldn't, communicate at all. They were just in the shock of it. But it was a beautiful thing to see that these guides, these beings, soul beings, they didn't live in the store. It's not like when the store, at the end of the day when the store was locked, they were like, help. No, No. They were not in body, so they were free to go wherever they wanted to be. But really enjoyed being at the store. Well, as far as I know, they were always at the store when I was there, and I was there every day. And so they were very much into so every shelf had a book title, as you're aware, and every title had a subject matter. And so these huge bookshelves, the store no longer exists, but these huge bookshelves went from the floor all the way to the ceiling. I mean, and they were just subject matter. And then, you know, several shelves down, another subject matter, and all these books in between. And I was there to open the store, and I was there to close the store. And when I would close the store, I would, you know, fix all the books. And there's a reason I'm telling you this. Please don't fall asleep yet. And I would fix all the books and turn off all the lights and leave. And the next morning I would come in, and all the subject matter books were on the opposite wall. All of them, from floor to ceiling. And I was like, very funny. I really hope you guys are going to fix that. So things like that would happen to me. And then things like sitting in front of the cash register. The cash register door would fly open. It would be like somebody put a blower underneath it. And money would just go flying all over the place, all over me, all over the area I was standing in. And I mean, those were really fun times. Fun for me. There might be people listening that are like, yeah, that's creepy. No, it wasn't. It was, the validation that I had already had as a child that we are so much more a part of something so much bigger than just, are what we recognize or what other people recognize for us. We are part of a universal consciousness that is so much bigger than what's happening around us. But I will say this, that I learned working in that bookstore and doing my own healing regarding surgery. And do I have time for that next story? I don't think so. But what I learned just through life in general is that life is the teacher. Life is the teacher. And at times we are the student, and at times we are the teacher with life for somebody else. And that life, the energy of life force itself, is not singular. It's not singular by any stretch of the imagination. It is worlds and worlds of layers and layers of consciousness, and Mother Nature's language, the animal kingdom's language, the sky nation's language. But it just goes on and on and on. And then we look at the physical body, we look at the bloodstream's language in comparison to the bone language. I mean, there are so many conversations going on that are extraordinary. And to just be part of the audience and listening in to that universal consciousness is a gift beyond words. Truly, really a gift beyond words. But I will say that all of this leads to one thing. You have more power than you realize. You have more strength than you realize. You have the ability to change your reality and to change the world around you if that is what you choose. And if you feel like you are blocked in doing so, or that I'm just one person, it won't make a difference, you're wrong. You can sit and visualize the world that you want to live in and project that like you were a projection screen that is then aligning to the projection screen of all others who see the same world, and it starts to gather strength. And I'm mentioning that in relationship to, if you can't get out there and do something physical in connection to the world you want to see, then go to the consciousness within you. Go to where you already exist and it is true and real, and start doing your work there and see the difference in your own life first, and then around you. And that is very true, and that is very real. And so I say to you, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I will be sharing more stories next show, and I wish you blessings. I wish you an experience of yourself that transcends limitation, and I wish you self-love in a way where when you have these experiences, whatever they may be, positive, love-filled. Hold on, I need water. That you do not rely on the excitement of whoever you're telling this to that will validate you, or on the lack of excitement of somebody you telling this to and it takes away from your experience. Just be with the experience yourself. And I know that part so true. I've been giving myself away for most of my life. And so much more has been going on as I've been sharing with you. So it's, life is all these things going on, and sometimes at the same time. But I tell you that your energy experiences, your experiences of at the center of your being is a quiet, knowing, a quiet knowing that if you become still enough, or if you meditate, or if you just start having a conversation with the wisdom of your soul, of your heart, etc., you won't need the validation of others. And I am talking about self-love, self-worth. Why? Because the entire universe lives within you, and you are extraordinary. That's why. If there's no other reason, maybe that can be one. That can be one. And so I wish you blessings, and I say goodbye for just now. Thank you.